we continue with the lesson on the table of showbread. Now, we have spoken in our past lessons of the table of showbread as a small table. It wasn't a big table. Of course, it was to carry the bread, but it was a small table whose foundation was of chittim wood, that incorruptible wood, and it was overlaid with gold. It wasn't just plated, it was overlaid. The difference between plating you do on metals, you don't do that on wood, so you have to have lots of gold going around the wood. But that's what it was. It was a foundation of chittim wood with a covering of pure gold. And we said that the pairing of these two materials speak of the deity and the humanity of Christ. It speaks of God coming to this earth, taking upon himself flesh in order for him to have blood to shed for the sins of the world. You remember the scriptures that said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. That was the quality that God set up. He didn't have blood. Where's the blood coming from? Well, you can get it from animals, but animals aren't satisfactory. Don't have the right kind of blood. It has to be human blood. And God ordained that in the eternities past, that he would have to send his son to this earth to take on himself flesh, that he might have the right blood. Now, this table of showbread was encircled by two crowns, which spoke of Christ's role as both priest and king. For today, this very day, Jesus Christ is interceding for you. He's busy. He is my intercessor. I need an intercessor. I need someone to speak for me. And he's my brother speaking to the Father for me. And tomorrow he's going to rule the earth as the king. So those two crowns represented his role as priest-king. Now, since every piece of furniture in the tabernacle speaks of Christ, many of the pieces share similarities. We've picked up on this. As was true in the Ark of the Covenant, the table of incense and the altar, the table of showbread had four rings in its corners. Now, the number four is usually associated with the earth. You know the seasons of the earth? How many are there? Four. We're in the season of winter. Oh, this is a long season, isn't it? Winter seems to be so long. Spring is so short, and summer's a little bit longer, and fall is so short, but winter is so long. But the earth has four seasons, and the earth has four directions, north, south, east, and west. It has four phases of the moon and four elements, earth, fire, water, and air. Four elements. Revelation 7:1 tells us of four angels standing ready at the four corners of the earth to release the four winds of destruction. All has to do with the earth. Now, the table of showbread pictures Christ, so everything about the table tells us of Christ, even in the fact that it has four rings, four corners, 4 feet. If we connect that number to the number that is so prominently displayed in earthly things, we can see that the table of showbread reveals Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, as connected to an earthly ministry. Aren't you glad that Christ had an earthly ministry? You know, we couldn't go up to heaven to be ministered to. He came down to earth to minister to us. Now, as the table is in the holy place to feed the priests, he is that which God has given to feed the earth, for he is the bread of life. You know, we see constant efforts in the world to feed the world. You know, send $25 a month and you can feed a starving child. That's good. We need to feed the starving children. But all the efforts in the world are to feed the world's food. But the food that the world truly needs is the bread which is extended by the Father to the world in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus intends for the world to be fed, and he began his worldwide ministry to feed the people by commissioning the disciples in Mark 16:15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," which means to give to all the bread of life. The world needs the bread of life. Every dollar that we give in missionary support should go toward providing the eternal bread to the starving of the world. For anyone who does not feed on the bread of life is starving. You know, it's a shame for Christians to be hungry. You know, it's a shame for Christians to be starving. We have the bread of life on the table, and we ought to partake of that bread. Now, the 4 feet of the table resting on the earth can remind us of the feet of Christ who walked this earth, feet that we're told had no place to call their own. You know, Jesus Christ was homeless, wasn't he? Had no place. Stayed in other people's homes. Stayed outside. But the world was his home. Walked the dusty trails of this earth, proclaiming the gospel. Now, the 4 feet can also remind us that God chose to tell us of Christ's earthly ministry by telling it to us in 4 Gospels, 4 Gospel accounts. The 4 feet can also bring to mind that Christ walks with another, that Christ walks with me, and in that walk, he feeds me daily the bread of life, instructing me in all things that brings true life. You know, we are to dine at the Master's table, where he feeds us the bread that gives life. Now, the 4 gold rings speak of the deity or the divine nature of Christ, for their circular construction symbolizes eternity, having no beginning nor ending. For we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is from everlasting to everlasting. Now, of course, the 4 rings mounted at the corners are fit for the staves of chittim wood overlaid with gold, staves designed to bear the table from God-directed place to God-directed place. Again, we here have the thought of incorruptible wood, which symbolizes humanity overlaid with pure gold, which symbolizes deity, which again reinforces the picture that is throughout the tabernacle of Christ, the God-man. Now, the purpose of the staves was for men to carry the table of bread in the wilderness wanderings. Now, think about that. What a picture that is when you see it as the gospel being carried by men throughout the world, a gospel God given to the world as the bread of life. That's the picture that's given. As men carried the table of showbread with the bread in the wilderness. Jesus himself was a pilgrim and stranger on this earth walk, and he gave the church the mission to follow him by his example. We are to walk this earth, giving out the bread of life to a hungry and dying world. We try to do that as Grace Bible Church. We have missionaries. Think of our missionaries as giving out the bread of life on a daily basis to hungry people. Every day, they depend upon us to help in that endeavor. They need us. They need the money that we can send that they can live in foreign lands to help others eat the bread of life. Now, Christ's walk is foreshadowed in the transporting of the table of showbread, for Moses was given definite instructions concerning its movement from place to place in the wilderness. And we read of this in Numbers 4, first verse 5, "And when the camp setteth forward, Aaron shall come and his sons," and verse 7 and 8, "and upon the table of showbread they shall spread a cloth of blue." Remember, that same cloth of blue was on the ark. So we have a cloth of blue over the table. "And put thereon the dishes and the spoons and the bowls and covers to cover withal, and the continual bread shall be thereon. And they shall spread upon them a cloth of scarlet." So we have a cloth of blue over the table. We have the dishes and the vessels on top of the cloth of blue. And then we have a cloth of scarlet. "And then cover the same with a covering of badger skins, and shall put in the staves thereof." So in transit, the table was covered with the following coverings. The first, as we said, was a cloth of blue. Now we can see that the blue cloth can be understood to be a type of the Holy Spirit who was on the true bread. For Jesus said in Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." The color of blue is also seen as the color of heaven, which speaks of Christ as the Lord from heaven, as Paul stated in 1 Corinthians 15:47. The first man is from the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Now, the dishes and the spoons and the bowls were placed atop the blue cloth and had a covering of scarlet cloth upon them. Of course, when we think of scarlet cloth, we are thinking of blood sacrifice, which speaks to us of the Lamb of God. For Jesus, we know, was that perfect sacrificial lamb shedding blood as scarlet. The Bible says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. What a wonderful thought to know that all sins can be forgiven. The final covering was badger skins. Now, these are typical of God, who is over all and speaks to us of that third aspect of Christ, which we discussed when we talked about the ark. For it symbolizes the fact that Christ, we're told, has no outward beauty and is not attractive by his appearance to the unregenerate man who only desires to live an outward life and hides his face from Christ, esteeming him not, we're told. Now, there were three types of vessels used in connection with the table of showbread, and these are the vessels the prophet Isaiah referred to when he said, "Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord." You know, right there, if you're carrying out the gospel, if you're feeding the bread of life, we're told to be clean, pure, righteous before God, right there. Now, along with the description of the table in Exodus 25, 23 through 30, Moses was told to make these vessels. "And thou shalt make the dishes thereof, and spoons thereof, and covers thereof, and bowls thereof, to cover withal of pure gold shalt thou make them." No under foundation here, but pure gold. "And thou shalt set them upon the table, showbread before me always." Now, these vessels were used for holding meal, for meal mingled with oil, for what is called the meat offering in the scriptures, and also for holding wine in the drink offerings. The scriptures also tell us that the spoons were hollow vessels of gold with incense inside them. Now, while the priests ate at the table of showbread, in the light of the golden candlestick, they burnt incense unto the Lord at the golden altar or table of incense. This is the picture of the Christian who is dedicated to the Lord. The picture given in the holy place is that three articles of furniture show us that as we eat at his table, in the light of his presence, we are to send up prayer as incense rises in worship and adoration to the Lord. That's the picture that's shown in the holy place. You know, the holy place is where the Christian is to be, in the light of his presence, feeding on the bread of life and offering up prayers of thanksgiving and prayers asking for intercession on behalf of others. Now, we have spoken of the table of showbread, but today we must also speak of the bread of the table. For God in Exodus 25:30 has commanded, "And thou shalt set upon the table showbread before me always." We are to focus on that bread. And the Bible gives us names of the bread that we might better understand its purpose. The word showbread means to tell forth or declare. It is in bread form. The words commanded to the disciples, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The very word gives that commandment. It speaks to us of Jesus, who is the New Testament bread of life, who showed himself not only to his disciples, but to the entire world, and commands believers to continue that showing to the world. That's our obligation, to be carriers of the showbread. Now, not only was the bread called showbread, but it was also called the bread of God in Leviticus 21:21. This bread is on his table, and through it he offers fellowship to the priests of the Old Testament and to the priest believers in the New Testament. Now, it is called the continual bread in Numbers 4:7. For this bread was to be before the Lord continually. Believers find Christ, the continual daily bread. Matthew 6:11 tells us to ask God to give us this day our daily bread. You know, we can't store up bread. You know, you sometimes go into the bread. Does anybody have bread boxes anymore? We have a bread box. Oh, it goes way back. I guess it was your mom's bread box, probably 50, 60 years old. And sometimes you forget about the bread in there. And, oh, all of a sudden you have green bread. You don't eat that bread. But God talks about daily bread. This prayer about asking for daily bread is not only for the bread that satisfies the body, but more importantly, it is the bread that satisfies the spirit, for it is the bread that speaks of Christ. And it is a daily bread. It is like the manna that was provided in the wilderness. It is continual bread, for God does not give bread for days at a time, but desires to feed us daily with fresh bread. You know, that's just like the Lord provides fresh bread. You know, it's a funny thing about fresh. We get dozens of eggs, you know, and the new eggs always get put on the bottom of the stack of eggs. Do you do that too? So you never have fresh eggs. You're always getting eggs that have to earn their way up. You know? It's funny about that. Bananas are like that. Fresh bananas. Yeah, but you got to eat the old bananas. They're getting black. They're getting dark. Put the new bananas away so that they can get dark. Isn't that funny about fresh? But God wants you to have fresh bread. Every day he comes to you with fresh bread, no stale bread, no moldy bread. You know, you open this book and, boy, that's not moldy bread. Well, look at that fresh bread over there. Oh, it's always fresh, isn't it, when you get into the Word? Fresh bread, daily bread. You know, men try to make bread that does not stale, don't they? Sometimes you can have this bread with all the additives and it's supposed to last a month. But you know, after a month, it tastes like a month-old bread. But God doesn't do that. Always giving us fresh bread, daily bread, bread that is new each day. You know, if you get into the habit, every time you eat bread, it ought to remind us of the bread of life. You know, that would be a good habit, to get out a piece of bread and think of the Lord as the bread of life. Jesus said we are to take up his cross daily and follow him. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. daily. We are to sit at Jesus' feet and be fed bread that we may be equipped to take up our cross. You know, we meet here on Sunday and Wednesday. We get bread. Hopefully it's fresh. You know, the pastor doesn't have just 42 messages. We were talking about that yesterday, about a preacher that had 42 traveling messages. And he thought that was sufficient. Boy, I'd hate to be a follower of him. Hear the same old messages, have that stale bread. But Monday, we're supposed to have bread. And Tuesday, you say, well, I'll eat bread on Wednesday at church. But Thursday, no church. Friday and Saturday, no church. You get the bread, fresh bread. Christ, like fresh bread, is to be new to us each day. You know, think about that as married couples. You know, you can kind of get stale in your marriages, you know. Think about that and bring that into your marriage. Have some freshness in your marriage. Because the Lord teaches us that He gives us fresh bread in our relationship with us. Now also, the showbread was to be set on the table in order. So it was a bread of order or arrangement. You know, I love God because of His order. I like order. I like to know where things are when I need them. I don't like to have to search all over the place because things aren't in their proper place. But God told Moses in Exodus 40, 22 through 23, and he, Moses, put the table in the tent of the congregation upon the side of the tabernacle northward. That was going to be on the right side as you went in the holy place, without the veil, and he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. You know, there ought to be order in God's work. There ought to be order when we take communion. As we partake of the blood and the body of Christ, symbolized in those elements, there ought to be order. We see that in the scriptures. Remember, there was disorder. Paul admonished them for order. And this was taught to us in the tabernacle. Now, all of these various aspects of truth seen in these titles for the showbread are symbolic of communion. For the Lord communed with his priests through the bread. They were partakers of him when they partook of the bread. What we eat becomes a part of our being and nature. Believers in Christ are partakers of the divine nature when we partake of his body. If you don't believe it, read John 6, 53 through 57. Very hard words for the disciples to receive. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Do you eat the bread? Do you eat the flesh? Do you drink the blood of Jesus Christ? That's astounding. Oh, how that would turn many off, as it did in those days. Oh, that's a terrible saying, but that's what we're told. Eat the flesh and drink the blood. Eat the bread of life as the Lord has given it to us in his word. Father, we thank you so much for this instruction. How hungry we are for the bread of life. Lord, we eat the bread of this world, and we say, oh, how full we are, but in a few hours, we want more bread of this world. But Lord, the bread that you give us is for eternity. Help us, Father, to eat that daily bread, not to forsake it, not to go our way hungry, but to eat that bread that you give us fresh every morning. In Jesus' name, amen.